4 weeks since we've been in the book of Mark. Just to bring us up to speed, we're in the last week of the life of Jesus. The last time we gathered in Mark, we were in chapter 13. Chapter 14. We're going to actually finish up 14 today. And Jesus was in the garden, and the soldiers and Judas came to get him, to arrest him. Let me find out where we're at, and we'll get going. All right. Have you ever done anything in your life that you've regretted? Something that wasn't planned. It wasn't meant to happen the way that it happened, but it just did. One of my not-so-finest hours was back in the spring, and Beth hates when I share this. She's like, "You just look so stupid." Yeah. Well, Beth doesn't say that, but that's how it comes across. But we were at a graduation party, and we were getting ready to leave, and one of the sisters of the girl that graduated had come up from out of state with her husband and child, and was just saying our goodbyes, and my mind was somewhere, and I had looked at, something looked like it was missing in the picture, and I asked her, I said, "I thought you had another child," and they're like, and I kind of kept egging it on a little bit. And finally Beth drags me away and we get to the car and she says, "Don't you remember she lost the baby?" Not my finest hour. And after that was brought to my attention, all the flood of when that happened came by. But I just wasn't thinking that way. I was trying to make conversation, and it was just an ugly occasion. We're going to look this morning at an hour that Peter would say was not his finest. And it's a time that we look back in judgment against Peter. How could Peter be so dumb at this? I mean, Jesus had just told him, not a day or two before, that he was going to betray him. How could Peter do what he did and not see it and stop himself? Let's go ahead and read this morning our passage for today, Mark 14. And we'll read verse 66 through the end of the chapter. "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Nazarene.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are talking about.' And he went out into the porch. And the servant girl saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, 'This is one of them.' But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean too.' But he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about." And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him, "Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he began to weep. Let's pray. Father, may you add your blessing to the reading of your word this morning. May you give us ears to hear and feet to walk. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Everybody had scattered and left Jesus when the soldiers came. And as they took Jesus away, he was alone. Now we kind of get the impression here that Peter hadn't completely left. He had hidden himself, he'd gotten himself out of the vicinity. And we find him here in verse 66, watching Jesus from afar off. Remember, Peter was ready to die for Jesus. That's what he told him. "No, Lord, I will never deny you. I will die for you." So Peter finds himself in the courtyard, standing with a bunch of people, and there's a servant girl with him. And they're warming themselves by the fire. Peter's trying to blend in. He's trying to look like everyone else. He's rubbing his hands over the fire, trying to keep warm. Peter's just part of the crowd. But this girl sees something in Peter. She looks at his face. Maybe she studies him for a little bit. And she asks him, or she tells him basically, she says, "You were with Jesus the Nazarene." At this point, I'm not really sure what that would have mattered. I'm not sure if soldiers would have come and gathered him up and taken him. They got who they wanted. They had Jesus. They were trying to cut the head off of the beast, thinking then with Jesus gone, everything else would just die out. And Peter, wanting to maintain his anonymity, wanting to be able to stay and see the proceedings that were going on, what was going to happen to Jesus. Remember, all through this whole time, Jesus kept telling them, "I am going to die. I am going to suffer. I am going to rise again." And I don't think the disciples ever really got it. And Peter's here now with Jesus before the high priest, and he wants to find out what's going on. "You were also with Jesus the Nazarene." Verse 68 says, "But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are talking about.'" Peter, in his head, rationalized his next few steps. He had a reason why he was going to respond the way that he did. But a good principle that we need to live by is that it is never right to do wrong. And though we may justify ourselves, just have all kinds of reasons why it is okay to do something that is wrong, it is never right to do wrong. Because as we will see, Peter will keep compounding this lie, which is what it is. He denied it. He said, I neither know or understand what you are talking about. Did Peter know? Did he understand? Absolutely. Peter's first slip. He tells this lie. And it says he went out onto the porch. Okay, it's getting kind of crowded. The focus is too much on him. I need to move. So he moves out. Well, the servant girl continues to look at him, continues to watch him. And obviously she too goes out onto the porch where he's at. She saw him and began once more to say to the bystanders, this is one of them. So she doesn't necessarily ask Peter this time, but she starts talking to everyone else. Hey, this guy was with Jesus. He's one of the followers that goes around with Jesus. And before we go and start casting all this animosity onto Peter, I always like to put myself into the shoes of the people that we're talking about. How would we have reacted? Where would we have been at this time? I dare say some of us probably wouldn't have even been around. We'd still be running as fast as we can to get away. At least Peter still stuck around. Peter's motives was not to deny Jesus. That was not what he wanted to do, but that is what he found himself doing. Servant girl says, this is one of them. Verse 70, but again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, surely you are one of them. I mean, this wasn't a case of mistaken identity. This wasn't a case where they were looking at Peter and saying, oh, you look similar to this person. I mean, have you ever found your doppelganger in this world? Somebody that looks just like you? I can remember once when I was in the Air Force. Front page of the base newspaper had a picture of me on it. But it wasn't me. I was in Bob Evans one day. I got the picture somewhere buried on my phone. I got a picture of my daughter Joanna. But it's not Joanna. This was not a Peter lookalike. This was Peter. And the people recognized him because Peter was always with Jesus. So the girl comes and says, weren't you with Jesus? No, I was not. Don't even know him. She's discussing it with the crowd. And they're, you're one of them, aren't you? No, not me. And again, kind of as a chorus, you kind of see the girl, the crowd, now a combination of everybody looking at Peter. And they say, "Surely, you are one of them. I mean, you're even a Galilean." Maybe some of these people had been present at the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000. Maybe they got bread and fish from Peter. They knew who they were looking at. "For you are a Galilean too." But notice Peter's reaction at this point. "But he began to curse and to swear, 'I do not know this man you are talking about.'" Now, as you study this passage and you come up to this phrase, "he began to curse and swear," we could take it a couple different ways. We could take it that Peter, at this point, had a potty mouth and was saying words that maybe he shouldn't have said. Maybe using God's name in vain, saying, "I don't know him." Most scholars that I've read take it more as Peter standing and taking an oath. You know, he's swearing an oath. You know, on my mother's grave, "I do not know this man." But whatever context it's in, it's forceful. It's emphatic. "I do not know this man." And immediately, a rooster crowed a second time. Now Mark, again, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's the only gospel that says the rooster crowed twice. It's kind of laying the groundwork for it's a little bit later on in the morning. It wasn't the first crow of the rooster. I don't know where Peter was at that very first crow. I don't know if he heard it and things just didn't click. I kind of think he did hear it. But here Mark tells us that immediately when he said that he did not know who they were talking about, the rooster crowed. This was kind of Peter's aha moment. This is where the life, kind of Peter's life flashed before his eyes, as we might say. The words of Jesus come rushing in because Peter remembered how Jesus had made the remark to him that before a rooster crowed twice, you will deny me three times. I don't think Peter realized what he was doing. Peter was in self-preservation mode. He was watching Jesus. He was trying to keep an eye on him. During this time, Jesus is being questioned and beaten and punched and spat on. Peter didn't want to have anything to do with that. I mean, where's Peter with his sword drawn now, ready to cut people's heads off? Peter was in self-preservation mode. He remembers Jesus' words. And we close the chapter out with a little phrase, "and he began to weep." Peter sees himself at this point exactly who he is. And in a way, I wonder if Peter put himself in the same category as Judas Iscariot, as Judas betrayed Jesus. Is Peter thinking, I have just betrayed my Lord? And even though Peter could rationalize everything that he said, even though Peter could make excuses for everything that he did, it was still wrong. In some ways, this passage of Scripture has defined Peter. Just in the same way that the passage of Scripture with Thomas, I mean, how do we know Thomas? Doubting Thomas. That defines Thomas. But this doesn't define Peter. It could have. Peter could have, at this point in time, just said, oh, that's it. I'm done. I did what Jesus said I was going to do that I said that I would never do. I'm a complete failure. I'm done. Woe is me. I will just wait to die. But it didn't. What defines Peter from this point forward is his obedience to Christ. What defines Peter is his sermons in the book of Acts, proclaiming Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What defines Peter is his life ministering to people in the name of his Lord Jesus Christ. And even what defines Peter is the way that tradition says he eventually died, being hung upside down on a cross because he didn't feel himself worthy to die in the same manner as his Savior. Each and every one of us this morning have had an hour in our life that was not our finest. I dare say most of us, like me, have had many hours that were not our finest. But it's not those hours that define us. It's what we do from here on out. I'm quickly realizing I'm getting older. Things don't work as well as they used to. I have pains where I never had pains before. My hair is changing color. But at least I have hair. But you get to a certain age, and some of you are too young for this, you get to a point in your life where you start looking back. And you start asking yourself, what will you be remembered for? What will you be remembered for? Many in the world strive for that recognition. I was CEO of such and such company. I did this. People acknowledged me for this. I've gotten past that. My desire now is to be remembered for what I've done for the kingdom of God. I remember as a young couple, me and Beth, in our 20s, last thing on our mind was saving for retirement. Oh, we went to all the seminars that everybody goes to. If you begin at 20, saving such and such, you know, this little bit a month, then by the time you hit 65, you'll have this much. Yeah, the older you get, the more you have to sock away. That monthly allotment becomes larger and larger. And we don't think about what's going to be. It's the same way as we walk this life. We don't think that today could be our last day on this earth. We don't think that what we do now matters. Had Peter, for some reason, dropped dead right after this instance, that is what he would have been known for. Peter, the disciple that denied Jesus. What are we doing to preserve our posterity for the kingdom of God? Do you realize that is what's most important? A 100 years from now, how many Indians games you went to? How many times the Browns lost? How many times Dover kicked the field goal? None of that is going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is what we store in heaven. Peter, I think, learned that lesson. I don't want to say this was a turning point in Peter's life, but it could have been. Peter became one of the most powerful apostles and disciples that's written. What will history write about us? What have we done for Christ? Father, I pray that you touch each and every one of our hearts, instilling within us the desire, the want, the power to work for you. Father, not to work so that you might be pleased with us and pat us on the head, but to work for you because it's both our duty and it's our privilege. And Father, you deserve everything that we do to be given your acknowledgement. We thank you for your Spirit that lives within us. Guide us and direct us this day For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.